When you hear the words, the war of the sexes, what comes to mind? That's a rhetorical question. That's a question for you to ponder, not speak out. War of the sexes, right? Battle of the sexes. This is something that has been waging since the beginning of time. We live in a current time period where our society has a major gender identity crisis. And today we're going to talk about, as a third part of restoration, we're going to talk about gender and God. And as we do, I have to mention, because I know those of you who watch the news and keep up with what's going on in America, it's a major topic right now. If I say hashtag Me Too, you know what that you know what I'm talking about. And so the abuse of women or chauvinism, all that that entails, this topic will relate to that, but that's not what I'm preaching today. So as you listen, don't try not to be looking for me to deal with that topic, because that's not what this is. But we are going to answer the question biblically and seek for God's opinion on gender. And how should we live? How should we live in our homes? And how should we do things as a congregation in the spirit of restoration? So remember that God intended man and woman to be a blessing to each other. God intended that from the beginning. He intended their strength to be a blessing to each other. But it wasn't long until Adam and Eve started butting heads. Man and woman didn't live very long until they started having problems. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were not to eat of the one fruit in the middle of the garden, the forbidden fruit. And remember, after they did eat that, when God questioned Adam regarding eating the fruit, do you remember what Adam said? First two words out of his mouth, the woman. Right? It wasn't long till Adam and Eve started having trouble with each other. And see if you agree with this statement, how quickly a man can change his mind from his bride being a blessing to his bride being a burden. And ladies, the same is true vice versa. Right? Brides, how long does it take? How quickly a bride can go from her husband being a blessing to her husband being a burden? Through the centuries, men and women have been frustrated with each other. Rivals, neither wanting to concede the advantages of the other. Think about this. God gave men strength to be a blessing to women as a protector, as protectors, as providers. But men from the beginning, surely not long after, have been using their strength to abuse women and control them. And we see that all through generations and societies. God gave women compassion and a heart to be a blessing to men and a source of comfort, but it has been used against them to berate them and belittle them. The war of the sexes. God's plan was for the genders to bless each other, but selfishness has brought so many problems. And it is true, and I want to say this, that men through the years have mistreated women because they could. And no doubt that has grieved God. Always has and always will. But as so often happens, when the pendulum swings the direction it should, it swings too far. And it was right and good that women should be given rights and protections. Absolutely. But the pendulum has swung so far that now, in reaction to the abuses, now we have a movement that belittles men and sees no reason for God's model and design of men leading in the home and the church. So our question today in the spirit of restoration is, how does God view gender in the church? And that's how we will search Scripture to find out that answer. So flip in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 is where we'll start. Genesis 2, 20. Remember, when God made the creation, He made the animals, He made Adam. He had Adam name the animals. I had a question this morning. Do the names that we have for the animals, are those the names Adam named the animals? Which would be pretty awesome if it was, right? And the one that was referenced to me was hippopotamus. Isn't that a cool name? Hippopotamus. Of course, we speak a different... I don't know what language Adam spoke, and we don't know what he named them. But we'll have eternity to sit down with Adam and listen to the names he gave them. But isn't that something? Adam given the privilege. But God made man in his image, so we are special. Verse 20, the man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Things kind of come to a halt there. We need to understand that the way this reads, don't be mistaken as to believe that God is confused here. Or that God is making this up as he goes. Right? This is not that. That's how I do things sometimes. I build something or do something and I'm just kind of, you know, I'm winging it as I go. God doesn't do that. So when no helper was found for Adam, God knew that. God had eternity to plan the design of creation. And God knew this. This is for Adam. Adam realized that no helper was found. Verse 21. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. This is no accident. God has made Adam a helpmate. In verse 23, the man said, at last, this at last is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam realizes the animals are good and they serve a purpose, but I'm alone. And God designed the other part of the human creation. God had planned this forever. And God now makes woman from Adam's rib. So God designed men and women very differently in order to complement each other, to fit together. Men were designed to lead and to protect and to provide, and women were designed to nurture, to comfort, to foster family relationships. I remember when I was 7 years old, and so picture a seven-year-old, but I was really short, so picture me at seven. And my brother and I were playing with, there were some other friends from church over, but we were playing in the front yard, and he was chasing me. I probably did something to provoke that, but he was chasing me, and I fell, and he fell, and I was getting up and lunging away. I was looking back at him, but I was lunging away from him and jumping away and to run again, and I jumped straight into our bird bath, concrete bird bath in the front yard, and gashed my eye open right along the eyebrow. So immediately I put my hand over my eye, and I start yelling, you know, I'm bleeding. And my brother, typical older sibling, my brother said, you're not bleeding, you're just being a baby. Come here. And he grabs my hand and he pulls it off. He says, oh, yeah, you are bleeding. Puts it back on. We start yelling. The next thing I remember, we're on the way to the hospital. And I remember Dad driving and Mom in the front passenger seat and me sitting in Mom's lap. And in those days, that was legal, folks. We weren't even buckled up, I don't know. But I remember sitting in her lap. And while I know my dad comforted me, there's no comfort like a mother. Amen. And that is God. That's God's design. It is beautiful. Why is Mother's Day bigger than Father's Day? Are fathers lousy parents? I would argue that there are many, many great fathers. Many fathers who are great at being fathers. I don't think it's because men are lousy fathers. But the design of a mother and the bond of a mother, 9 months, give or take, with a child, and the way God made mothers and their relationship with children explains why Mother's Day is bigger. There's nothing like a mother. And I'm not saying all women are not mothers. I'm talking about God's general design for mankind. And it's wonderful. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a bachelor pad with no woman living in it? A place with Stephanie and I first started dating. I lived by myself. I remember my place. I don't think I had anything hanging on the walls. I had a TV and a big stereo, right? And a couch. And what else did I need? Well, I needed a woman. It is a different thing what a female brings to a situation. And God did not make a mistake in how He created us, male and female, the way He did it, the order He did it. As much as our current world tries to make men and women exactly the same, they were not designed the same, they were not made the same, they never will be the same. I remember as a newlywed, I would often think or say, I do not understand her. Amen? As a young man being married to the female design of God, I do not understand this woman, God. I don't. And for the longest time, I thought it was just her. It's not just her. It's all of them. They're different. They're different. Ladies, I would reckon you feel the same way. We're different. But God made that to be a blessing. And look at this scripture. What a great scripture for young married couples. But speaking specifically to husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Young men, you're going to have to figure her out. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to study. She's different than you, and that's not by accident. It's the way God made us, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. This is what God intended, instead of men domineering women. Instead of men controlling women. Instead of men abusing women. This scripture, this is God's picture. This was God's desire. But think about this. Answer me this question. If our society had created mankind, they would have made Adam and Eve the same time, the same substance, the same physical makeup, mental makeup, emotional makeup. You might argue with me some there, but I make the case that our society, the pendulum has swung so far, and it should have swung from women should not be abused or controlled, right? So that should have changed. But now it's gone so far that everything's equal in every way. And it's even hard for me to use the word equal. But I mean the same. Our society is trying to make men and women the same. But we're not the same. God didn't make them the same time. He didn't make them of the same substance. He did not make them the same way or for the same purpose. And God did not make a mistake. So as we look at all scriptures on gender roles, we have to start from the design of the beginning. There's no way around it. We cannot say, well, in that time and culture, you see, because when God created Adam and Eve, there was no culture. Right? There was no time. It's the very first, and it's God's. Did God make a mistake? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, in the spirit of restoration, when we look at who leads the church, we need to look at Scripture and be careful not to read it with our bias. And the fact is, it's really hard not to look at Scripture through our 2018 glasses. You'll see this here in a moment as we read a couple Scriptures. We'll start with 1 Timothy 2:8. But as we read some of these, let me tell you, they do not sound like they are acceptable in our day and time. 1 Timothy 2:8 is where Paul writes to Timothy, a young preacher. He says, I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. The word men here is definitely male. And this chapter specifies, addresses some things, male and female, and it's in a worship setting. And men are to be leading Holy hands, men, our lives should be holy. Our actions Monday through Saturday should be holy when we come to worship God Sunday without anger, without quarreling. God talks in the next couple of verses about modesty for women. Verse 11, he says, "Let the woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet." Hold on now. God, you can't say things like that anymore. Right? I mean, am I the only one? Now, God, back in the day, you could talk that way. But now, we can't say those things. Is God sexist? Absolutely not. Is God chauvinistic? Absolutely not. We have to understand and interpret Scripture in its proper way and context and understand God's purpose in creation. And we have to do that without reacting in a way that will throw us off course. And so let's read on. Well, basically, the takeaway here, folks, is men, you lead in the church. And we also lead in the home. But that's the message here. And ladies, the message is don't take control. Don't take that role or that responsibility. And look at the reason. Verse 13. "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." Now, if we stop there, that sounds okay to us. But look at this, verse 14. "Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." Here we are again. Now, God, hold on. You got to be God, you got to be careful how you say things. You can't say things quite that way. That sounds demeaning. God's not being demeaning. God is saying, "I made men, I designed them to lead. I designed ladies to complement that leadership and for responsibilities and roles that are different." So let me pause here. I'm not saying that a single mom can't lead her family and lead it well, being in that position. I'm not saying anything about all kinds of circumstances. We're not talking about a business model in the world. We're just talking about the home and the church and God's plan for it. But God's point here, and this is one we cannot miss, in all the scriptures about who does what, who speaks, who doesn't speak, who teaches, who doesn't teach, and all of that, this is what I can't get around. Even if I were trying to get around it. All right? This is the reason that I claim we have followed Scripture correctly on how we do leadership. Because the reason given here is the creation. It's not Eve, it's not that she sinned first, so all you ladies have to pay for, the fact that, she's the first one to mess up. That's not it. This is saying God designed men to lead in the beginning, and God has not changed His mind. No matter if it's the Old Testament times, or first century times, or 2018, or 2050, God won't change His mind on His design. It's still the same. And I argue that God's design is beautiful, it is wonderful, until the genders, and I'll start with men, until we mistreat women, then it becomes a major problem. But if we will honor each other as God intended, it's beautiful. Notice a couple things pertaining to this. Adam was formed first. Eve was deceived first. But do you remember in the garden when God gave the rule not to eat of the fruit? You can look this up, Genesis 2:17. When God gave the instruction, don't eat the fruit, who did He give that instruction to? God gave the instruction to Adam, and then He made Eve. He told Adam, don't eat of that fruit, and I don't know how long Adam had on his own, but there was a time, and then He made Eve. Now, did God tell Eve not to eat of the fruit, or did Adam tell Eve? We don't know. But we know God told Adam specifically. So here's the strange thing. When, of course, Eve eats the fruit and then Adam eats. And you can argue, based on Scripture, that Adam was right there with her. Should have knocked it out of her hand. Okay? Maybe he was scared of her. I don't know. But she eats first. And then Adam eats second. When God confronts them in the garden, they're hiding. I don't know if they're hiding together or separate, but they're hiding. And God questions, this is Genesis 3:9, God called to the man. She sinned first, but God says, "Adam, where are you?" And God questions Adam first. Men, God will also hold us responsible first. He'll hold us responsible for leading the church. He'll hold us responsible for leading in our homes. Even if we're not leading, God will question us and hold us responsible first. With responsibility comes our role. And ladies, that you can see how that applies to you as well. God did question Eve, but He questioned Adam first. He held him responsible for his family. When Eve speaks about this, this is also something to notice, that when the devil asked Eve, when he was tempting her, she said, "We." She spoke in the plural sense. "We may eat of any fruit. We may not. We're not supposed to eat of this fruit." She spoke of "we." And then when God questions Adam, Genesis 3:10, Adam says, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself." Genesis 3:12, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree. I ate." Where's the no I in team? I mean, Adam and Eve, before they sin, they're a team. After they sin, they're hiding. All bets are off. The woman, it's all about me now. And my point is, God intended the genders to bless each other, and it didn't take long for things to get off track. But God's design was right. Why did God make Adam from dust and Eve from his rib as his helper? That was God's design for leadership. There, I want to reference a couple other scriptures quickly and then wrap it up. And I have to mention, the truth is, this topic can be very confusing. Scripturally, when you look at all scriptures on this topic, it can be confusing. It's very detailed. I could preach from now till the cows come home Sunday after Sunday, exploring deeper and deeper. Some of this we don't have time for, and I'm not going into today. Feel free to come and speak to me, Keith, Bob, talk to us, and we can look at this in more detail. But let me reference a couple more quickly. 1 Corinthians 14:34, speaking about women, "A woman should be in submission as the law also says." I want to just point out that this reason was not Adam and Eve, but it kind of was. The reason given is the law, which was the law of Moses. But the law was also referred to, that statement also referred to the first five books of the Old Testament. They would call that the law. And so the point here is, this wasn't a first century cultural issue. This has been this way. It was this way before. It is to be this way after, from the beginning until the end. 1 Corinthians 11:3, "The head of every man is Christ, the head of wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." Was it unfair that Jesus had to submit to the Father? Let me ask that again. Was it unfair that Jesus submitted to God the Father? Submission is not about fairness, it's about faithfulness. And we make a mistake when we get to looking at things as, this isn't fair, this isn't equal, this isn't... It's not about fairness, it's about faithfulness and honoring God. Jesus was not anti-women. After the resurrection, who did Jesus appear to first? It was women. That was no accident. Paul was not anti-women. Frequently, one is Philippians 4:3, Paul would thank the women who served, and his wording is Philippians 4:3, "who labored side by side with me in the gospel." Paul was not anti-women. Scripture is not anti-women. There are a couple real quick I'll leave you with. Ephesians 5:22. We'll come back to that. 1 Corinthians 11:11, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman was made from man, so man is born of woman. All things are from God. And my point is, we are to be a blessing to each other. And if we do so the way God made us, we will be. Galatians 3:28 says, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Same value, different responsibilities. I have copies of these slides on the table in the foyer. This is about restoration. Our society is changing. Are we going to change God's instructions for us? Or are we going to continue to follow God? I leave you. We'll have a song and a time of encouragement for any who need to come this morning. If you need prayers, if you need to give your life to Christ and have your sins washed away. But I want to leave you with this statement. Men, may we treat ladies with greater honor. And women, may you treat men with greater respect. And in doing so, may we enjoy the blessings of God as we work together in His kingdom. Amen. If you have a need this morning, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
There's a fountain that rings for you and me. Let